that it's time to say welcome back home. It's that time of the month, Carlos Wayne Anderson.
It's so good to be here, brother. It's so good to be here, my sisters and my brothers. I haven't said this in a while. I'd like to say it today. So grateful that all of you showed up. Whenever people gather anywhere that I'm on to speak or to say or to do anything in the name of our oneness and in the name of God, I always have a trust that I have. And that trust is that at the end of our time together, there will have been a significant and positive change that has been made in your life, in your mind, and in your heart. As I like to say, if you psychologically or emotionally or spiritually crawled in here this morning on your belly, I trust that you will at least crawl out on your knees. If you crawled in here emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, on your knees, I trust you'll at least limp out. If you limped in here, I trust you'll walk upright out. If you walked upright in here, I trust that you might skip out. And if you skipped in here, I trust that you will fly out. Because there is something that I know. It's been tested in my life. It's tried and proven true. Whenever the children of God gather together in the name of unity, in the name of oneness, in the name of power, a change happens. Where two or more are gathered together in the name of holiness, we resurrect the holiness that some of us may have misplaced through the trials and tribulations of living this thing called life. My talk title today was given to me years ago by my niece and my goddaughter, Timothy and Siana's daughter, Siana. Siana, when she was 1 and 2, used to love and come into my bedroom and say, "Can I hang out with you for a minute?" And I would say, "You sure can." "And can we watch your big TV?" "Yes, we can." "And can I pick the shows?" "Yes, you can." And she always picked things like SpongeBob and Dora the Explorer. And I can't think of the name of one of her new shows. She was so excited when she came and popped herself up on my bed and I turned on the television and she told me what channel to turn on. And she said, "Baba, I love this new show I found. It's so scary." And I went, it is? "Oh, Baba, you just wait. It's so scary. It makes me shake. It's so scary." And I said, "I have a question for you, Siana. Why would you be psyched and happy to watch a show that's so scary that it makes you shake?" And she said, "Don't be silly, Baba. I watch a scary show so that I can get scared, so that I can learn how to not get scared." And I said, "One day I will preach that sermon." Confronting what scares you so that you can no longer be scared. How else are you going to not be scared unless you face the things that bring you fear? I love the affirmation for today because the affirmation claims that God is with us. And the scripture's word for that, the word for that in Hebrew is Emmanuel. When the birth of Jesus was being announced, it said, "You shall call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. It wasn't until I was in my 20s that I realized that God with us was not a matter of me being here and God's with me, either standing here, 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 or behind me, but God is with me. We are two separate selves, but yay, hallelujah, God the powerful self, is with me, Carlos, the many times not powerful self. So thank you, God, for being with me. When I was in my 20s, I had a revelation. And the revelation was a voice inside me that said, Carlos, God is not with you as in standing next to you. God is with you like when you say, I take my coffee with cream. You don't have your coffee in one cup and your cream in another cup, and they're sitting next to each other as you drink a sip of this and a sip of that. You take your coffee with cream, meaning cream is stirred up in your coffee and you can't get it out anymore. And I went, wow, that makes a huge difference. Me and God are mixed together like the cream in my coffee. Inseparable. You can't get the cream out of my coffee. I decided to preach what I'm preaching today using the title that I got from Sienna, because I attended recently a healing service in the church that I used to pastor. Hope Church was a church that my father pastored before me. My father was a Baptist minister, and my father, through his relationship with me, had stretched his basic Baptist tenets to include some New Thought, Unity, Course in Miracles things as well. So the last 6 years of his life, he was basically Baptist, mixing in some Course in Miracles and some Unity theology. So that's what the church was when my father was alive and the pastor. When my father died, and they convinced me to come, move from Miami and come back to the small town of Amherst, Massachusetts, that I moved away from on purpose, I said, I will come back for 3 years as long as me and Johnny can be on the road doing our music minister for half of the month, every month, for 3 years. I ended up being the pastor there for 20 years. Johnny died before the 3 years ever concluded its run. And so under my pastorship, Hope Community Church could very well have been Hope Unity Church, because it's the flavor of the pastor. So I did not go from Pentecostal or Baptist stretching in a little bit of unity. I was unity in Course in Miracles that mixed in a little Pentecostal and a little Baptist, and that's my flavor. And so now I have been retired from that position. So after I retired, my sister became the pastor of the church, and she, under her pastorship, she always was with me with Course in Miracles, with me with Unity. She just loved it for years, but she battled depression. And when she was about to become the pastor, a traditional group of ministers took her to lunch, and they said, we believe that the source of your not getting through your depression is that you have followed your brother, Reverend Carlos, away from the basic truth. You have followed Carlos away from basic, traditional, fundamental theology. You have followed him away from Jesus only. And we think that's why you haven't gotten through your depression. And it opened some door in my sister. And she scheduled a meeting with me, and she was crying. She was saying goodbye to me. Goodbye, we no longer are going to share the same path, because what if it's true that that's why I still struggle with my depression? So I'm going to return to a fundamental church. And so she got up and announced on her ordination, on her installation as pastor, my entire ministry at Hope Church can be summed up in two words, Jesus saves. We will not be using the Course in Miracles anymore, nor any of the Unity textbooks. We will use this Bible. In it is all truth. And so going from Baptist, stretching into New Thought, then going to New Thought, colored by Baptist, Black Church, Pentecostal vibration and rhythm, it now became a Jesus-only church. And then she died. And so the people who are in charge of the ministry now, they are doing the ministry of grace. It's still based in tradition quite a bit, but it's not condemnation. It's grace. It's your living in the grace of what was paid for you through the gift Jesus gave when he gave his life on the cross. And so I'm there once a month. So once a month, they get Unity. And I'm really grateful that they invite me to be there, because the people who attend are not Unity people. And so it's a stretch for them. I get a lot of questions after I preach. I get people coming with confusion. I get people coming at me with scripture, but they don't know who they're messing with, because I know my scripture. So, I was at a healing service, which I do not attend very regularly. And generally, my tendency when I go to the healing circles at Hope Church, I generally just stand outside or wait on the porch or tuck myself around, sort of hiding behind one of the evergreen trees, because I just want to go in for meditation. And if I go in before meditation starts, it's, oh, God, give me another hug. And it's like, so I generally wait. But this time I walked in, so I was there for the little preface that the two leaders of the meditation give. And in their preface, they were saying, we are so grateful for the number of people who have come out to this healing circle, because we are needing healing more and more and more. Because when we look at the world, and you will have to agree, when you look at what's going on in this world, in this country, I mean everything that's going on, the division between the riches, the ever-expanding division between the haves and the have-nots, the conflict, the mass random killings, the forest fires, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, what's going on with the coral reefs, with the ocean, the poisoning of the air. It's scary when you look at the world. It's a scary time to be alive, because the crap is hitting the fan everywhere. Who would have thought that things would be like that? And it doesn't seem to be ending. There are more and more and more mass killings. There are more and more and more hurricanes, more and more and more forest fires and tornadoes, more and more and more appearance of division. We really, really need to gather together in the name of God, because the devil is busy. And then somebody said, amen, my sister. The enemy is out to bring us down. And somebody else cut in and said, the demons of darkness are everywhere, getting stronger and stronger. And I sat there going, I will always wait until the preface to the healing circle is done before I come in. I will wait until they turn on the music and sit in a circle. And if you want healing, you go sit in the chair in the middle, and they will lay hands on you. I love that part. But I was stunned by the preface, and yet I understood it. I know that people in Unity and Science of Mind and A Course in Miracles, they don't talk about all the appearance of darkness and everything that's going on. We don't tend to blame it on the devil. We don't tend to talk about forces of evil. We do not tend to talk about demons of darkness. We do not tend to talk about the fact that isn't it clear when you look at all the scary things in the world that the enemy is busy. We don't language like that, but I'll bet you we have some of the same feelings. We don't invoice the devil. We come up with more unity, politically correct ways of explaining the crap is hitting the fan. So basically they were saying, it's so scary. It's so scary. And so basically, I came here to ask you three questions. Number one, given what's happening in our country, given what's happening all around the world, given what's happening with the climate change, given what's happening with the fact that yes, storms are rising and there are more of them. Yes, division is apparent and there seems to be a widening of it. Yes, there seems to be a widening of the gap between the haves and the have-nots. Yes, there are more people willing to load themselves down with high-powered weapons and take out innocent people more and more. It's not the kind of world where you can be told and follow through with knowing, here's where you go if you want to take the risk of getting in trouble, and here's where you go if you want to stay safe. You can go anywhere. You can go to a restaurant to have a burger. You can go to a movie to see a flick you've been looking forward to for months. You can go to school. You can go to church or synagogue or to temple or to a mosque. Given everything that's happened, my first question, are you afraid? Are you scared? Somebody's sitting thinking, oh, no, I wouldn't say I'm afraid, but I do get a little anxious. You're afraid. Don't pull the wool over your eye. Well, sometimes I get into catastrophic feelings, like, how bad is it going to get? But I'm not afraid. You're afraid. Sometimes I can't sleep. Sometimes just the news, it's just raging thoughts in my head. I'm just trying to figure everything out. But no, I'm not afraid. You are afraid. Are you afraid on any level? You see, a little bit of trepidation is full-blown fear in disguise. Are you afraid by what's going on, by the scary things in life? My second question, why are you afraid? If you are afraid, if you are anxious, if you are nervous, if you are off center, and recognize it to be fear, on any level, a little teeny bit of trepidation is full-blown fear in disguise. If you have full-blown fear, even in disguise, why are you afraid? My third question, if you are fearful and are willing to acknowledge that you are afraid and have gotten clear on why you're afraid, who or what is it that is at cause of your fear? There has to be someone or something to be invoiced. I'm not just afraid because I decided to be afraid. Something or someone or some group of ones are making me afraid. At the little healing circle I was at, they acknowledged that it was a scary world. They acknowledged their fear. And they knew who was at cause. It's the devil. It's the dark force. It's the shadow energy. It's the demons. It's hate from others running rampant in the world. My three questions. Are you afraid? Why are you afraid? And who or what do you claim is at cause of you being afraid? The scripture that I called into Zoe is God has not given you the spirit of fear. It goes on to say, but God has given you the spirit of power, and God has given you the spirit of love, and God has given you the spirit of a sound mind. When a scripture says God didn't give you this, but did give you this, that's as if to say, if you're in this, you're denying all of this. So you can't be afraid and be grounded in power. God didn't give you fear. God gave you the spirit of power. You've got to lay your power down in order to be afraid. You've got to put it out of sight in order to go cray cray on fear. And God did not give you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love. If you're afraid, you have stepped outside of love. If you're busy loving, there is no room to be afraid. Loving is so exciting. It is so all-consuming. There isn't room enough to think about things that make you say, it's so scary. And if God did not give you the spirit of fear, but God gave you the spirit of a sound mind, that indicates this fact. When you're afraid, you're not in your right mind. You've gone cuckoo. Cray cray. You have lost your natural born mind if you are walking around in fear. And so you have a choice, of course, to keep being afraid and to keep invoicing whoever or whatever to validate the authenticity and the correctness and the righteousness of your being afraid. If you want to keep that, keep it, because a part of you wants to keep it. But if you want the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind, you have to let this go. If you're holding all of that, you do not have open hands to receive the goodness, the glory, and the blessedness of watching a scary show so that you can learn, silly, how to not be scared. I cannot wait for the third Sunday of September when Reverend Carlos Anderson, Pastor Emeritus of Hope Church, walks up on that little stage to inform those people. Nothing that is going on can be invoiced to the devil. You can't make up a devil and say the devil made me do it. The devil is causing all this to happen. It's not the spirit of darkness. It's not hatred. It's not the negative force. It's not shadow energy. Well, Reverend Carlos, Tell us, Pastor, who is at cause? Have you not read your Bible? It's written very clear. I, your God, shall cause these things to happen. I, your God, will bring divisions in your household. I, your God, will dismantle your relationships. I, your God, will have tribe fighting tribe, nation against nation. I, your God, will bring hurricanes and tornadoes and wildfires and destruction of every kind. I, your God, will dismantle everything in this world that you think can be a safe place. There is no safety in this world. When you realize that, you will enter into a place where there and there only your safety lies. Be encrypted in my copy. You will return to me by hook or crook, kicking and screaming if necessary. This world is a scary place. But you are not of this world. You are of me, Emmanuel. God is with you, not standing beside you, not another thing encircling you, mixed with you, and you with it. There is only one presence and one power in the universe, hallelujah, and in my life, in the midst of the scary world, God, the good. Well, Pastor, if God is doing all this, how can you then call it good? Well, that's why people made up the devil, because it was intensely difficult to express that much of God's goodness will look like hell on high water. But you know what? When my firstborn child, Carlos Derrick, was born, and it was time to wean that little rascal, it broke my heart to put him in his crib, put his little nightlight on, get him all settled in, and tiptoe out to me and my wife's bedroom. And to hear him start crying, he wanted to sleep with mommy and daddy, because when he was real little, that's where he got to sleep, and he felt so safe. It didn't look like love when I didn't go rescue him. Wouldn't love, Pastor B, that you went in and got your little boy and you let him sleep with you and your wife as long as he wanted to? He might not have wanted to until he was 42. It was love. He had to get. This is scary. So that he could learn how not to be scared. Is it a scary world? Mm-hmm. Well, who's to blame? God. Why is God doing this? So that you will stop thinking your safety, your prosperity, your health, your good, it's going to be found out there. Eventually, you will go inside. Thank you, Eric Butterworth, for saying to me when I was 21 years old, "Hey, Carly, discover the power that's within you."
preach. Let's just hum into that. Scary parts of the surround sound, surround vision movie called Your Life and My Life and Life Itself. The scary parts. Baba, don't be silly. I like the scary parts so they can teach me not to be scared. If God is with us, what can stand against us? Is it possible that many of us are scared sometime by having our financial security seem to be lessening and lessening, our money running out? Could that be so that we no longer depend upon a certain amount of financial blessing to be blessed? Some of you are experiencing the crumbling of your relationships. Could it be that you are being taught and led to love yourself enough to not be scared in a scary relationship? Employment, storms, forest fires, conflict, division, inequality, homophobia,
sexism, racism, elitism. How could God not only allow these things, but if the scripture is true, cause these things? Could it be that he wants you to come home to depend only upon the power that is within you, to relax, to breathe, to get off the fast track, to let meditation, prayer, and God connection become your favorite program to watch? Release. Let go. The Almighty One is with you, stirred up in you, and inseparable from you. In a sometimes scary world, you have every reason to be glad.